because a lot of us are dealing with joint pain, and I want to explain to you some of the things that are going on. Many times the joint pain is caused because we have built up toxins in our joints. And how many of you have gone out in the morning and you can smell the exhaust from the cars going by your place? You are taking in some pretty nasty toxins along with that. You know, that it's just simple things that we do. If you eat foods that have preservatives in them, if you eat foods that have been irradiated, the list goes on and on. We build up those toxins, and in a lot of instances, cartilage is the place where the body, either in fat or cartilage, is where the body will store those toxins. So I'm going to address a couple things. Arthritis is one form of joint pain. That's caused by the inflammation in the joint, in the cartilage, at the end of the bone. That's the reason why with arthritis you see the deformed joints and everything, big knuckles and all that kind of stuff, because of the inflammation that's there. There are several things that you can do to help with that. Somebody mentioned tendon pain and tendonitis, those kind of things. I'm going to give you something that really works for that. It's called silica. Yeah. That's what's in diatomaceous earth, yes. Yeah. But silica, you can buy plain old silica at the health food store. Works really, really well. One little word of caution with silica, it'll make your hair grow. So... No, but just it will really make hair grow. Yeah. He's holding up his hand. He thinks he needs a lot of silica. Talking about that, I had a gentleman come in the other day, and he had a cap on, and he took his cap off, and he's getting pretty bald. I mean, it's back to about here, and he looked at me, and he says, "No, I'm not going bald. Those are skillet tracks." Just one a day. It doesn't take very much. Just one of those little capsules a day is usually enough. If you're doing the diatomaceous earth, 1/8 of a teaspoon will give you enough silica. I mean, it doesn't take very much of it. Diatomaceous earth. Yeah. Talk to Janet. She's got the answer. Yeah, it works for worms. And while we're talking about that, with the parasites, that's an excellent way to rid your body of parasites, the diatomaceous earth. But go one step farther. You need to do the black walnut tincture, the pumpkin seed, and they take them together. And then there's one that I hate to even mention it, but you really kind of need it. And that is the, it's terrible bitter. Bobby, say the name of that one. Wormwood.
Oh, yeah.
Wormwood. I knew it was a W something, and I couldn't say it. But you really need that, because the wormwood is the one that helps kill the liver flukes. And there's a little flat worm that they get in your liver. Cloves, and use cloves with it also. But the combination of those things will really, really take care of it. If you want a complete one that's all put together, you can get one it's called Hulda Clark's. And hers is all put together. Now, if you're going to do parasite cleanses, you need to start at the dark of the moon and go to the light of the moon. Okay?
Lunar cycles.
You have to do it because worms multiply, they hatch according to the lunar cycle. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Full moon, new moon. So you need to do that in the cycle of the start in on the full moon and go to the new moon. Yeah. You know, and if you get it backwards, as long as you go over those dates a little bit, you'll still be all right. Okay? I usually tell people, you know, just to be sure, start 2 days ahead and go 2 days beyond, you know, that lunar cycle thing there. Okay? Most people don't know that, and they just take it randomly, and then they say, well, I don't see very good results with it. And I would say do the same thing with the diatomaceous earth, because it's easiest to kill those little tiny itty-bitty baby worms than it is the great big adults. I will guarantee you, you do. You don't even know it, but you do. Yeah. You know, my friend, he always says, you go out there and he says, you worm your horses and your cows and your dogs and everything. He says, you do that twice a year. And yeah, he says, you never do anything for yourself. You know, and he's right. You know, and I will tell you that a lot of arthritis, a lot of joint pain, and a lot of those autoimmune diseases come from parasites. I have no experience there, Ronnie. I don't know. I would think that would work.
Because you can rub that on your skin.
I would think that. Right. Yeah. But anyway, that's. Yeah. But those are some things that might work well too. Okay. With the joint pain, you can nearly always reduce joint pain with energy work. Nearly always. If it's an elbow, if it's a wrist, if it's something that where, you know, you or a knee or an ankle or something, where you can get to both sides of it. I ran across something really interesting the other day. They were using the energy field for knees, and they were using their middle finger or these pointer fingers on there. And I was looking at that, and I was like, wait a minute. You're not doing something here right, because that doesn't reduce the inflammation.
That's a negative.
That's two negatives. And I found by my own experience that two positives work much better at reducing inflammation. How many of you were here for last seminar? All of you? Okay. Somebody needs to come up here that I can draw around their hands. Ronnie, come up here. You got big hands. Where's our pencil, Christy? Yeah, here it is. Let's just do your hand. Let's put one hand right there, Ronnie. Okay, let's see. Let's put your other hand there. I'll get on the other side of you here. Do Ronnie's hands, because they're big enough for us to be able to see what's going on here. There we go. Okay. Can you see those pretty good? I'm going to help you here to understand this, I think. I'm going to make this like this, the palm side, like we're looking at the palm side of your hand. So, like this hand up here, palm side, the thumbs are neutral. I'm going to put a circle for the thumbs. It'll be the same on both hands. The thumbs are neutral. The pointer fingers are negative. That's always a negative thing. So I'm going to put a negative symbol there. And then the middle fingers are positive. Next time somebody gives you that finger, tell them, say, thanks a lot. I knew I was a positive individual. Okay?
Now, what do you use?
That is the key, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a time when you use both together. Positive and negative together, the two fingers together. And that can be called, I was telling Ronnie last night, that's actually called a sword when you do the two together. But on the palm of the hand, it's really important to understand that the palm, your right palm, which would be this one up here, the right palm is positive, the left palm is negative. Now, if you turn your hands over, the back side of that hand is just the opposite. So the palm side, I'm just using like my right hand here, palm side is positive, but the back side is negative. Okay? So the same way here, this one would be negative, wouldn't it be? Because it's my left hand. The inside is negative, but the back side is now positive, isn't it? No. The only thing that does change if somebody has gotten a polarity reverse, which does happen occasionally. Anybody know someone that's bipolar? If you do, guess what? Bipolar. They're reversed. And when we switch them around, it changes everything, and suddenly they're a normal human again. It can happen a lot of different ways. Through some traumatic experiences and different things can change that. So, if I take my hands positive here and I lay it on somebody, okay, and I do this, what have I done? I canceled it out, didn't I? If I did this, what did I do? I doubled it, didn't I? Now, interesting thing, how many of you work with tractors and combines and those kind of things? You can take two, I'm just going to tell you, the rest of you that don't know this, you can take two 12-volt batteries, right? And if you hook a positive to negative and negative to positive, and then hook it up negative and positive to the battery or to the combine or whatever you're working with, the current still remains 12 volts. Now, if I hook it up the other way, negative to negative and positive to positive, and then hook it up to the combine, now I've got 24 volts. So if I do this, I've still just got the 12 volts, don't I, as it were. But I increased my battery capacity, didn't I? If you got a 750 cranking amp battery and you double them up like that, you've now got 1500. Yeah. If I do this, now I've gone from 12 volts to 24 volts, but I've still only got 750 amps. I know I'm getting pretty technical here, but some of the guys will understand what I'm talking about. Is that making sense to you guys back there that have worked with that stuff? The reason why I'm bringing that up is because what I did with you putting your hands on my shoulders, we kept the same polarity going positive, negative, right to Marty. And what we actually did is we went to 24 volts, didn't we? Now, had she reversed her hands and done this, it would have remained the same energy-wise, strength-wise, but we'd have had a lot more. We could have done it for a lot longer time. Is that making sense? I hope that makes sense to all of you. I know it's kind of a mind-bender, isn't it? But I want to share that with you for the simple reason that it helps us to understand how and why we do certain things. I've got some charts here, and I don't know if I've got enough for everybody. If not, David can probably make us some more copies. Let's see how many. They do, yes. sure I get the ones that I need here. How many of you want a copy of this so that you can see it? Let's make enough copies so everybody has copies of those. There's three different things there, Ronnie. We'll just need a copy of each one. How many we need? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You've got to make copies.
Yeah. Okay, and it'll give you like the polarities of the fingers there. And then we're going to talk about how to use that, because each part of your body has a positive or negative charge. My right shoulder. Right hand. My right shoulder has a positive charge. My left shoulder has a negative charge. The scapula, your shoulder blade, is one of the strongest electrical fields in your body. What do you think that is? When God talks about strength in the Bible, he talks about two things. My arm, and he talks about the shoulders as being strong, doesn't he? We don't think about that. On my shoulders, I carry. Kind of interesting when you really stop and think about it. That's because that is the two strongest energy fields of the body, right there in those shoulders. Really, really strong. And then he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. Why does he say that? Because you have a huge energy opening right here. Huge. How many of you have heard the expression chakras? Do you know what they are? They are points of energy. How many of you knew that each one of those goes either in a clockwise or counterclockwise direction? How many chakras do you have? Before you answer that, tell me your nationality. Swedish? Okay. What are you? What's mixed up? Okay.
Dutch?
French? French English? Okay. Dutch? German? Russian? Swiss? Okay. Okay. Pre-mixed? Okay. The reason why I ask that is because all of the people from Asia, any of the Asian background people, they only have 7 chakras. And if you study any of the chakra things, they all talk about 7 chakras because, guess what? That's where a lot of that information came from. And you have a lot of people that they start jumping into the New Age stuff right there. But us people in the Western world have 9 chakras. We have 2 extras. And a lot of times people don't recognize those. But it makes a lot of difference if those chakras are opened or closed as to whether your energy will actually work or not. You know, and there's ways of checking that. I'm not going to go into that today, but it's really important that you know that those energy things are there.
Is that why some have more energy than others?
Mm-hmm. Certainly is. Some people have very active, I guess, chakras. I checked a lady the other day. She says, I don't know. She says, something's really off. She says, I just don't feel good. And she said, it's just like my energy is just really weird. She says, I can't explain it. I laid her down on the table, and I use a pendulum to check it, and I started in, and guess what? The brow, wide open. We were fine. Got to the throat, fine. Got to the heart, hello. Who shut this one off? Got to the solar plexus, guess what? It was closed. Got to the lower abdomen, that was open. Got to the root chakra, it was fine. So what's that tell you? The heart and the solar plexus weren't functioning. What would you think? Emotional. Keep going. Come on, you're thinking. If the heart chakra is shut off, what's going on? Blood flow is compromised. Janet says emotions. Low energy. Very low energy. What about the solar plexus? What happens here? Digestion. Nervous energy. Not able to give anything. You stop giving. What happens when you stop giving? You become stagnant. Thank you. You become stagnant. Just remember, I want you to remember this, if you don't remember anything else. Jesus Christ intended for us to be channels of blessing, conduits of blessing, not reservoirs. You dam up the gift of God and you've damned yourself eternally. I'm being really blunt about it, but it's really true. God intends for us to be a blessing to one another. So you have that chakra closed and you quit giving. Now you become a stagnant individual with lots of issues, don't you? So I opened her chakras up by using the energy of the little stones, specific ones to do that. She got up off the table and she says, "Man, I didn't know that I could feel this good." She says, "I'm refreshed, I'm energized." And then the next thing out of her mouth was, "I'm going to go help so-and-so do such and such." Awesome. Very simple. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's New Agey stuff. No, it's the energy that God put in those stones in the first place. Bobby brought up the little, she has a little heart shape of the pink rose quartz. That's the one that hold on your throat for a sore throat. That little stone right there is plenty big enough to open a chakra. Plenty big enough to do that. I've used the stones for people's backs. I had a gentleman that he had a horrible backache and he was in a terrible accident, so we couldn't put any pressure on anything in his back. And I said, "I'll put those stones on your back and I'll straighten you out." And he says, "Okay." He said, "I'm up for it." I laid him down on the table and I had five or six of them there in the, and they were just small. The smallest one was probably about that big. And it just happened to be that the smallest one was the one that I put directly over the problem, where I knew the problem really was. And it was a dark, dark green stone. Okay. Laid that on there. He laid there for about 5 minutes and he says, "Morris, you're going to have to move that one rock." I said, "Which one?" He says, "That one that's right over that spot." He said, "You are going to have to move it." And I said, "Why?" I said, "Pete, what in the world? Why am I going to have to move that stone?" He says, "Because it is as big as a cement block." He says, "It's about to smash me." And I said, "Pete, that stone is about as big as my fingernail." And he said, "There is no way." I actually took it and changed two stones places. And he says, "Oh man, that's relief." But we fixed the problem and he's back just with the energy from those stones. You know, we talk about energy and a lot of times we don't realize the green grass out there has an energy just from the color. Doesn't it? The sky has an energy because of its color. Even color itself has an energy. And we just need to realize that God placed all those colors and everything there for a purpose to balance our energies. People working in offices underneath fluorescent lighting, they lose their energies. It just literally sucks your energies away. Kids in school, absolutely. We need, God intended for us to be out there doing things in His great outdoors. He really did. And in that, there's a balance. We're grounded, we're walking on the ground. Yeah, probably not barefooted, but that's the way He intended us to be. But there's a grounding, there's an energy that comes from the sun and different things. All those energies are God-given energies to make us better people. Wow. Who knew, huh? Yes. I actually use about 20. Not saying that there's not more, but 20 is usually enough to accomplish anything that I want to accomplish. See? I have just gone to rock shops, Ronnie. Went to one rock shop and I found a really pretty green aventurine that I use. And Bobby went someplace to a rock shop and she got the little rose quartz heart, you know. Just look. They're there. Don't buy into the New Age religion thing that's connected onto it. Don't buy into that thing. But just realize that God placed the right energies in there, just like He did in the soil. The energies in different soils are different, aren't they? Look at the vast difference there is between clay and sand. The energies, crops respond differently in those soils. You have to treat them differently. You have to babysit them differently to get crops to produce. Then why in the world do we think that that energy that is in the soil, doesn't it compute? It's coming from the rocks, the little tiny molecules of rocks that are broken up there that make the differential in that soil. Is that right? You know, limestone has a huge magnetic charge of its own, doesn't it? It's just astronomical. You talk about the magnet, buddy, it'll be the one. But if you actually look at like salt, now you got a totally different thing going on, don't you? You can take that limestone and look at some sulfur in connection with it. Now you've got a whole different dynamic going on, don't you? Talking about soils. Our bodies are the same way. We came from the dirt. And those stones, they have an impact on us. We had an old doctor that we used to go to. He was a chiropractor, biochemist. I don't know how many other degrees he had. But he always said, when you go to the mountains, don't sit on the rocks. He was talking about up there in the Rocky Mountains. And I asked him one day, I said, Dr. Niebel, I said, why in the world wouldn't you sit on the rocks up there in the mountains? He looked at me and he says, young man, they're full of radiation. He said, they are full of uranium. He said, the whole Rocky Mountain range is full of uranium. You sit on those rocks, he said, that goes clear up through your body and it stops in your brain. He says, you don't need uranium in your brain. Kind of interesting. Yeah, I kind of took that to be, you know, that's a pretty smart old man. I probably ought to listen to him. It's fine to sit on the wood, the trees that are up there, but don't sit on the rocks. You know, some of those things are lessons that all of us need to learn. Talking about the frequencies that are there that make a difference. Talking about that energy, double positive, holding the two fingers, reduces inflammation, stops pain. Double positive on either side of a joint or an arm. You're good. You're fine. It's still there. It's still there, Marty. It'll still go right on through. A double positive, again, reduces inflammation, stops pain. And I'll add one other thing. It makes bones heal. Yes. Knits bones together to the point where it is absolutely astronomical. Yes. Yeah, Jeremy, talk to us. Yeah. Okay, let me explain what I did. I used a double positive to do what? Knit the bones. Reduce the inflammation. Inflammation is the biggest detriment to healing. Yeah. So I reduced the inflammation. Actually, the swelling went down in his leg where we were working on it. And let me explain that really easy. Let's just take... what can I use here? Let me just use, I need somebody to work on. Come here, Christy. You're handy. Let's just make an assumption here. Let's make an assumption that she's broken her arm right here. Okay? In order to knit that bone back together, let's just assume that the doctor has set it. Okay? So that it's in the right position. If not, there's energy things that you can do to reset it by itself. But I'm not going to go into that because most of you are not going to be comfortable with that. Have the doctor set it. Then you're going to start with an energy field. Let's just say it's this bone, just one bone in her arm. You're going to start above and below it about 3 inches, above and below the break. Once that begins to tingle, or in her case, like a broken bone, it will usually begin to kind of give a little bit of an achy, uncomfortable feeling in there.
It starts getting real hot.
Yeah, starts getting warm. As you do that, then what I usually do is I begin to work closer and closer to that break over the next, 5-10 minutes. Work closer and closer till I'm about an inch apart, right over the break. Okay? Then I will change it up and I'll go on the bottom side. I'll leave this finger positioned right at the break. Okay? I'll work on the bottom side and I'll do the same thing. In about 5 to 10 minutes, I'll work to here. Then I'll leave this finger here and now I'll work down here. Okay? So I'm actually bringing it all together. That energy has a tendency to kind of push that together and it knits it. Now, the reason why he says it feels weak. Thank you, Christy. That's all I needed. The reason why he says that feels weak, that bone has not hardened yet. It's still somewhat gelatinous.
So should
that... It will harden.
Yeah, but should that be done
again? It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt. But as you do that, you will get that bone to totally heal together. It will knit together. You can use, let's say it's out of place, you know, that the bone ends are not lined up. You can actually use the energy field. Remember, positive pushes, negative pulls. Use that same thought process to push-pull. You don't have to press, but the push-pull thing to push the bone whichever direction you need to go to line it up. I've done it. I worked on a boy's foot one time that a draft horse stepped on. Broke the top of his foot. He said, if I take my boot off, I'll never get it back on again. You know, from the swelling. And I worked on it just using an energy field. Put the positive on the bottom of his foot, the negative on the top. And where it was crushed down in just a little bit, the bones, you could just watch them just pull right up there to right there to regular. Right there to the normal position. You could watch it happen. Wasn't using any pressure at all. Yes?
Is this the kind of thing that sports doctors use on
they could if they would, but instead they want to plug a little machine into the wall and put some little electrodes on them. Yeah, but it's not a natural energy. It's artificial. It's just like drugs. Yeah, had a guy that jumped into the swimming pool and they drained the water out of the swimming pool. A 15-foot drop from the top to the bottom of the swimming pool, and he landed feet first. He jumped off the little balcony and right over into the pool. Didn't have his glasses on, and without his glasses, he can't even see Christy. I mean, anyway, he said, I knew something was wrong when it didn't go splash. But about that time, of course, he hits the bottom of the pool, lands feet first. He broke his leg. He broke both ankles, and he shattered both heels. He landed right on the heels. He hit the... Yeah, yeah. The one heel, it was so bad, it actually drove the heel bone completely through the flesh, and it was exposed on the bottom of his foot. Well, he wanted to be dead rather than hurting like he was. The doctors tried doing all kinds of stuff for him. They couldn't do anything. He went, and the surgeon decided that they would go in. They'd open the side of his foot up and see if they could screw it together and everything. And the doctor just stitched him back together, and he says, how do you put screws in crushed ice? He said, you know, there's nothing to fasten anything to. So the guy comes to me. He's in a wheelchair, both feet propped out in front of him, you know, in his wheelchair. And he says, Morse, can you do anything about it? And I says, don't know, but we'll give it a try. And I used a double positive on there. What was I doing? Reducing inflammation, first of all, because the swelling was atrocious. Reducing pain, right? And I needed to push that all together. There's no way to, you know, you couldn't go from side to side. It needed to go right straight together. Well, when his foot, his heel just looked like an old horse's hoof that had splayed out. You know what I'm talking about. And I began to do that. I wasn't using any pressure, of course, because that we'd have been off the rafters with him. Pretty quick, he says, oh, man, I can feel that moving. We actually pulled those bones back together. And I stopped short on his one foot because he says, I am so nauseated from the lactic acid from all that going into my system. He didn't know what it was, but that's what it was. And he says, I'm so nauseated, I don't think I can take any more. So I stopped. And so that one bone did not pull all the way back in. But the doctor told him, he says, if you ever walk again, he says, it'll be a year before you ever put any pressure on that to stand. A year to the date of his accident, he walks into the doctor's office. And that doctor took one look at him and he says, Dale, what in the world are you doing? And Dale looked at him and he says, I'm walking into your office that you said I would never walk into. But he's able to walk without crutches, without a cane. Does it hurt? Yes. You know, you can't do that much damage to your body without it causing some other things. The biggest problem is with his ankles. You crush those ankle bones that severely, it's really hard to get that to come back together to the point where you've got complete flexibility in those ankles again. And so he has a problem with them shifting out of place. I realign him. He's good for another week or so. But nevertheless, we got those bones to go back into place just using an energy field. That will work for arthritis. It will work for tendonitis. Again, reduce that inflammation, reduce the pain, the body can heal. When you use the energy feels like that, it increases the blood flow by up to 400%. Now, the average person is probably going to see a 200% increase in circulation. Somebody said, well, will that do anything? Hello? How much help is help? you get 200% increase in blood circulation, that's going to have a dramatic effect on healing, isn't it? I'm going to try an experiment today that I've never done before. Anybody up for that? I'm going to do it with Ronnie. If I can find my paper here. brought so many things today to show you that I may not be able to find it. I thought I had it laying out here. Yeah, here it is. How many of you are familiar with this stuff? You see it as mood rings sometimes? But it shows an increase in what?
Blood flow.
Because it's temperature sensitive, isn't it? You can just see what I'm, from me holding the corner of it there, what it looks like. It changes. The more blood flow that is there, the more color change we have. You can see where I held onto the staple there, it's even increasing that. I mean, it was even darker or had more light area there. So what I'm going to do with Ronnie is we're going to actually see if we can increase the blood flow and make that actually change color to a larger degree. Okay? Game for that, Ronnie? We're going to use your leg, weren't we? What was it going to use?
Yeah, my leg.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. What do we got, Ron? Which part of your leg we need to work on? Both legs? Okay. Very good. That'll work. Okay. Let's just set you right up here, Ronnie. Okay, some of you may want to come up around here so that you can actually see, because we're going to actually do a temperature, and then we're actually going to see if we can increase it. So I'm going to lay that right over his leg.
Look at it change.
I'm going to lay that right over his leg. Now, I want you to look that this one part of his leg has almost no circulation in it, right over in here. See that? Yes. And so we have...
My blood flow is starting to... I have no check valves left in my blood vessels. I pull.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I develop ulcers.
Mm-hmm. So what we're going to actually do is see if we can increase that circulation. I'm going to have you hold the edge of it there, Ronnie, so that it'll stay down.
It's the color difference, the green
yeah.
and the blue.
The green
blood flow.
What I want to do is see if I can turn it yellow. If I can turn it yellow or...
What do you want?
Yeah,
so which one has the more flow, the green or the blue?
The dark green is zero, okay? And the blue is just minimal. Let's see if we can get some color change here.
Look at it going.
We'll probably turn it light blue first.
The bottom is turning light blue.
Yeah. We're starting to see it in there, and that's where we had no flow before. That was still green.
Somebody put their hands on your shoulders, and that doubles.
It'll double it, yeah. Sure.
Just like that.
Yep. Whew, I felt that. Wow.
Now with me holding my fingers.
Yeah, that won't matter.
I'm similar to a diabetic.
Yeah, very similar to a diabetic.
We're almost identical. This is why you develop I have no check valves. The blood has to step up like a ladder.
Now I'm gonna change and I'm gonna go. A different kind of neuropathy.
Right.
Do you want to show?
No, it's fine. It's fine, Christy. Thank you.
My left leg is even worse than my right.
Is it?
Because I'm all scar tissue.
Mm-hmm. Is the circulation different on the left side than the right side? Or why is the left side seem to be the worst?
My right side is the worst. It was second degree burn. My left leg is third degree.
And they said,
be worse than...
well, it, because I have no, basically, muscle tissue left. Starting to tingle now.
Yeah, starting to tingle. Getting some color differential down here in that bottom side, but it's not as pronounced as I thought maybe it would be.
That's why I decided to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be hard to do.
Yeah. One of the guys that I work on, he's using this to get people to quit smoking. He actually has them touch the plate with their fingers. Take a drag off the cigarettes, and you can't even leave a mark after one drag on a cigarette.
What is
it? It's actually a thermo. It just responds to heat. It's a thermal imaging sheet. See, now that's turning a lighter color down there at the bottom, Ronnie. It's not. It's yeah. Yeah, it's a little lighter, isn't it? Like I said, this is an experiment because I've never done it before. But I said, you know, if it will work to demonstrate, I'm gonna try it.
What if you switch to the other light?
See the difference? Frequency wouldn't change there, Marty, but I think the big thing is the time issue here with trying to do this on his leg. Because of the very, very slow circulation. Very sluggish.
What if I cross my hands?
Try it. Won't hurt.
You've got to have somebody who has a stable mind, too.
And what about putting energy on?
You said you got to have somebody with a stable mind.
You could.
Yeah, short circuiting.
Yep.
Yeah.
My hair growing?
It is. It is.
It's getting in my eyes.
There is a little bit of lighter at the bottom there. That's helping. Ann? Yeah.
Well, she's doing something too.
Yeah, she's just using a straight energy on Ron.
Yes, he's had to go.
This is why you build toxins into your legs because of the no check valves.
Yeah.
And it pools there.
I've never heard of a check valve.
They're in all your veins.
They're in all your veins.
I thought that was like how the veins close and open. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Not really. There are little valves in there that they're like a butterfly. Butterfly
yep.
valve.
They kind of help the blood move up.
It's like
well, that's what I thought.
Blood.
So if your valves aren't working right, then you get varicose veins.
You do. But the big thing is the blood flow coming back from your legs is totally dependent upon muscle activity. That's the reason why when people come in, tell me, say, my legs
that's why
and everything.
I have to wear wraps. And
yeah.
Everything is tight.
See, that is getting lighter at the bottom there, Ronnie. It's a lighter blue. Just kind of gives you a little idea what can be done.
This is what you develop.
Yeah, you can see just immediately how it goes back to that greeny color. Because there's no energy there. And it'll actually go back to almost a black color.
So it's supposed to get to what color?
I was hoping that it would do just like where I've got my finger, like if I hold my finger on there, the two fingers together like that, it should just get that bright blue color, and that we were almost...
We're still saying black.
On the other...
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
And it's kind of gone now, but I'll just go back there so that you can see that bright blue color that it gets. Like that.
They said eventually I would develop cancer.
I will tell you something that really works on that, Ronnie. Really helps. Preparation H.
We got hemorrhoids?
It really does help, like with ulcerations on your legs or any of that slow circulation or anything like that. Preparation H is awesome. It's got an astringent and a...
Witch hazel
would? Witch hazel would help. But Preparation H, the combination of the glycerin and everything else that's in there, really, really helps.
You mean like just as a, like a lotion? Like
yeah.
Is that why Sylvadine?
Sylvadine is actually silver, but it has some glycerin in the Sylvadine, and that helps feed the cells some.
Right. Because Burns patients use Sylvadine tremendously.
And Sylvadine salve does two things. It kills the pain. The silver in there is awesome for killing the pain. It's a powerful antibiotic, and it totally stops the action of the burning immediately.
Right. It does.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Now, if you don't have Sylvadine salve, I'll tell you what you can use. You can use, if you'll take boiling water and take a solid silver spoon and stir it in that boiling water like crazy for about 5 minutes, and then take it off and cool it and use that to put on a burn, it really helps.
That gives it, like, what is it, crystal?
Colloidal silver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you're making a low form of colloidal silver. Now, I make colloidal silver, just I have one of the little machines to make it. But well, it's kind of fun.
He couldn't sit that on his leg and tape it on there. It wouldn't do no good.
It wouldn't do any good. No, it just shows temperature change.
Oh, okay.
Basically. Fun stuff, huh? And if we can get that, you know, that circulation.
Varicose veins.
Could
that be done the same way?
Yes, it could. The thing with varicose veins is they're nearly always a liver problem to start with. And if you will do a liver flush, a liver cleanse, it has a really strong tendency to clear up varicose veins. Okay? And a good one for that is burdock root. Works very well. I usually tell people, say, do burdock root, dandelion root. Try to destroy your friends, don't you? Okay, let's look at let's talk about seizures for just a second. Seizures can be from a multitude of reasons. Do you know what's bringing them on? Nobody does yet. Are they calling it epileptic seizures? Okay. That's pretty interesting. And so they don't get anything, do they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She had a bicycle fall where she hit her head hard enough that it bounced off the pavement. So they think it may be that. But if you live in China and she's had multiple parasite infections, major parasites. And now she's on Depakine.
I would guess probably that the blow from the accident may have displaced a couple plates in her head. Yeah. And that does two things. I explained this to Ronnie and Edna, I think it was, and David, I guess it was, and they were like, "What are you talking about?" Your head expands and contracts every 8 minutes. It's just like it's breathing. Expands, and then it contracts. Expands and contracts. It does that on an 8-minute interval. What that does is when those plates are out of alignment in your head, what that does is that your head cannot expand on that one side. And it triggers a whole lot of things to happen. I would guess, just from what you're telling me, again, that's a pretty big guess, But I'm guessing the brain may have become partially attached to the meninge on the inside of there. Okay? And where that brain, where you can't get the expansion there, it may be pulling on that spot, and it may happen mostly at night when she's laying still. So when she's moving, it may not happen because it may keep the brain, is not totally just encased rigidly in the brain. There's enough slop room in there, and there's actually a small amount of fluid there. It may be enough to keep that at bay, but at night when she's still, it may be that it's pulling on that just enough to cause her to seizure. Yes? Yours is work. Yes. It's different, isn't it? You know,
and I will tell you, last night was the deepest sleep I've been in a
long time. Ronnie had a knot on one side of his head, didn't he, Christy? We thought maybe Christy hit him with something, but we decided no, it was just... But what was really interesting, I didn't use a lot of pressure to put that back, did I, Ronnie? And there's a way that you can do that. Just hold it and then press it, and it just goes right in place. And I told Christy to feel. I said, the knot's gone. And Ronnie's like, what in the world? But, yeah, but it just changes the whole... I guess a good way is the geometry of the inside of the skull in there. If those plates can't move, that geometry becomes out of sync with everything else. So you have one side, perhaps it's not moving, the rest is.
Well,
so
in how you determined it,
yeah.
I told him that I was walking sideways to my left.
Yeah. I think so, Bobby. I would, if I can't work on her, do you have somebody that is a really good, that does the craniosacral massage? You should have craniosacral massage people there. Can you find her someone? That would be awesome. Thank you. Yeah, because that would help tremendously. I know that there are very many very good reflexologies, craniosacral massage, and that kind of stuff in China, because that's where a lot of this stuff came from in the first place, you know. And that, yes. Yeah. Have you noticed any difference, Edna?
Yeah, well, also my head was not on the back.
Straight, yeah.
But Ronnie also did his head a lot of time on the combine, so that's where
Yeah. So all those things, they have an impact on us, don't they? I mean, you just, our lives become this whole great big long circle of injury and recovery, and what's the chances of us getting back 100% from where we were, you know, which is just a whole process of downhill disaster. And that's the reason why we need one another to work on each other. Okay? Does that kind of answer your question on the seizures? I would definitely look at that. That'd be my first step. It certainly would. Would you feel the same way, Ann? Yep. You know, I don't feel like I'm the only person in the world that knows these things. I don't, but it's wonderful to have somebody that understands that side of it too, because that could be extremely beneficial. I've seen some phenomenal things happen. Mm-hmm. Especially with seizures, yes. And I work on a lot of those people that are like what you're talking about, the ones with stroke and seizure. work on them a lot because nobody can do anything for them. You know, I have a young man that I'm working on that I've probably worked on. How long have I worked on Christopher, Bobby? 4 years? 3 years? Probably 3 years, isn't it? Anyway, when he first came in, he was having what they called them pseudo seizures because they could not find any reason, and they could, when they would do the tests on him, they couldn't find any interrupted brain waves like you would normally have with a, you know, with the, like a seizure. So they called them pseudo seizures, but nobody could find an answer. They'd put him on medication, it didn't work. They put him on stuff, it just, nothing helped. So he started coming to me, and I started working on him with the reflexology and different things. We've got him down now to where he has very few episodes, and they're not nearly as severe as they used to be. It's kind of interesting. His seizures, it was kind of like he'd be there, and then pretty soon he'd start getting this faraway look on his face, and then he was awake, but he couldn't move. His muscles became rigid. He didn't shake or tremor or anything like that. He just became rigid, and you couldn't move him. He was just, and there was only one thing to do, and that is lay him down on the floor or something until that passed. And then when it would pass, then he was so sore from those muscles being so rigid for so long, he just hurt all over. It was really pathetic to see, you know, how much suffering he had. But we've got him down now. He actually has a job now working for Walmart pushing carts, you know. So, yeah, you have to, as Ann knows, you have to keep working on those things from different angles until you finally get all the pieces of the puzzle put together sometimes. Yeah, a lot of pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. And it could be, I would say, I'm just 99% positive that it's all from that accident. Because she didn't have them before, did she? Yeah, I bet that's what it is. I was going to say, a lot of times they don't start for 6 months after. Yes, yes. 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 Does that help you out a little bit? Okay. I will tell you, though, people that are having a seizure, you know, and you're in a position where you cannot let them have a seizure, you know, sharpen things around them. There are two pressure points right up in here that you can press, and you can stop a seizure. They're just right there by the collarbones. Yeah, you can put, I was sharing one with Ronnie. That was kind of a naughty thing for me to do, but anyway, yeah, there's some pressure points there that you can just hold, and they will stop seizing for that. So. No, you just hold it. Not positive, negative, just hold it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to be behind them. I can show you, like on Ronnie here, that's the easiest way. If you just go right in here, right above the collarbones, and right in there, and then you just press and hold, and it will relieve it. Oh, okay.
She's laying down.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but just should it ever happen when you need it to, it's right out in here, about right in here, and you just press in there and hold with fairly firm pressure, and it will stop it. Where are we here? Brain fog? Okay. I will tell you there's many things that cause brain fog, and one of them being hormonal imbalances. That's a big culprit. For women particularly, the estrogen progesterone imbalance, that fluctuation can just bring on huge brain fog. The other thing that can bring on a lot of brain fog is when the parathyroids aren't working correctly. A little spot right underneath the collarbone in there could sure be a culprit. And just by massaging those a little bit, you can really help that. Let me demonstrate on somebody. Christy, you brought it up, didn't you? Let's just have you sit right here, and I'll just show. I'm going to get hit, I know. But right under the end of your collarbone, right under here, it usually is really sore. A little tender in there, Christy? Oh, good. But that one can sure be a culprit for brain fog.
That side, yes.
That side? Okay. Right here is her collarbone. Right there is her collarbone, and I'm just right under it. Usually when I'm on the upsweep of that circular motion, I'm hitting the collarbone. Yeah, I'm fixing to get hit, isn't I?
Do you want supper tonight?
Yeah. And where she's had part of her thyroid taken out, the parathyroids have to take over part of that job to try to accomplish the same thing. Okay? Thank you, Janet. That's a good question. Because remember that circular clockwise increases, positive, increases. So it increases circulation, it increases activity, it's an increaser. If you want to cool or decrease, you go counterclockwise. People will tell me so many times with the energy work, how do you keep it all straight? Well, it's pretty simple. Clockwise increases, warms. Counterclockwise cools and detracts.
You watch the weather patterns,
yeah.
Cold fronts will always be counterclockwise, warm fronts will be
clockwise. And why is that? What's the warm air do?
Rises.
What's cold air do?
And when they butt, then it's a problem.
Yeah. And it's not a problem until the warm air gets underneath the cold air.
Right.
Because then the warm air is trying to rise and the cold air is trying to sink. And you get up with a counterclockwise rotation that makes a tornado. So, you know, I think a lot of times people talk about a lot of the emotional situations, and being as we're talking about that, the emotional situations that people have many times are because the energies get cranked around. And then they're kind of at a loss. Again, it's that same thing. You got the warm air in the wrong spot and the hot air in the wrong spot, and then the first thing you know, the whole system is out of whack. And you get, you know, it's an upset. Yeah. How many of you ever did that as kids, did the chair lift where you lifted somebody? Any of you do it? Where you stacked hands on top of each other? Didn't touch, and put your hands like that, kept going. Stacking your hands up like that and hold up there. And then everybody, you didn't say a word, did you? And you pulled your hands out and you went like this and you lifted the person up off the chair. How many of you ever did that? Ronnie said he did. One time. What actually happens with that, by using that energy field like that, what are you doing? Think about that. What did we talk about with the battery? And pretty quick, you break the gravitational pull to a large degree. And when you do that, suddenly it's like the person doesn't weigh anything. I had an uncle that weighed about 240. Pretty solid built guy, kind of about Ronnie's size of guy. And my mom and her two sisters picked him up doing that. and they were prepared for really heavy, you know, and they were like, and then they went. And they ended with, up with him, clear up here, and now what do we do with him, you know? But it's pretty interesting that, yeah.
I have a question about this.
Yeah.
And then the baby was like stuck. So they had like stick her back up, and then they had to do the cesarean. Anyway, the baby was like this for about 6 months, but now she's straightened up. And she's kind of, she's not a hyperactive kid, but she has a little bit of trouble sleeping. And I just, could that have something to do with her hard birth?
Absolutely. Take her to see Ann. I'm serious. Do the craniosacral massage because her head plates are out of alignment. But her neck is out of alignment. Yeah. The other thing is her neck is out of alignment, and Ann can help you with that. Yes. Love it when a plan comes together. But yeah, those little guys that go through that, it's hard. If you could imagine you at your size that you are right now, that you were forced through a tube about this big around, and you say, well, how much pressure? Well, if you multiply it on their little body weight times your body weight, you'd have over 1,500 pounds pressure to push you through that tube. No, they're not very careful. It's a lot of yank and pull and twist and yeah, they're not very nice. Okay, I want to talk about emotional release for just a little bit, and then we'll pick it up after lunch. Does that sound like a plan? Okay. What? Do you want me to wait for David? Sure. Okay, we can do that. Let's talk about the asthma. Who had the asthma thing? Okay, asthma, caused by many different things, but asthma is always a kidney problem first. Always, without fail, it is a kidney problem first. If the kidney problem is left go for very long, it works its way right into a major asthma problem. And the longer the kidney problem is not corrected, the worse the asthma problem becomes. They can outgrow it because as their kidneys begin to develop, many times they outgrow that. But it does happen. It does happen. I actually go and work the reflexology spots for the kidneys. I always do that. Always do that. And I've seen many, many of them where we work the top of the foot for the bronchial lung area and the kidney area. And I've watched a lot of those that's just like, it's a miracle. How did it happen? I have these. I'll show you. I can't leave them with you, but I can actually show them to you. Let me just do it this way. I did these for a class that we were doing that where we actually did as transparencies so that we could lay it out, you know, and do it like one at a time. Like if we take here, we've got the pancreas, thymus, spleen, adrenal glands, pituitary, pineal gland, neck and thyroid, you know, and all that, parathyroids. All laid out there. What are we working on here? Glandular system, aren't we? We're working on the, like, for the, well, you could use it for asthma, you know, because you're working on the whole glandular system. I'm just lay them out here a little bit. And then I took the next one. There's just your lung area on the bottom of your foot. And then I said, okay, let's just take this one. Now we're just doing digestive system. We've got the stomach, small intestine, colon. I broke it down into, you know, just segments of what each one of them are. This one here, we just did the renal system, just the kidneys. Ureter, bladder. Makes it kind of...
That's where you were pressing on.
This would be the left foot. Here. And then I took the next one and I actually went here with the solar plexus and the sciatic nerve, the one spots for the eyes, the sinuses, the ears. What are we doing here? And some nerve connections. And then this last one, I just did like a heart, and I did the area down there at the bottom for what we use for hemorrhoids, the spots we use for that. That's where I was working on you yesterday, Marty, and I was amazed there wasn't anything there that was sore. Yeah, we can do that. I have the charts for both the bottoms of both feet, and I don't know, you know, we could, I don't know if anybody has transparency material or whatever, but you, sure. If somebody wanted a set of those charts, I would sure let you do that. Sure. It's really nice. Yes. You might have a little bit of a heel spur there, and then you landed on it, and it's like a stone bruise, right there where you hit on that. But I will tell you, come here. on which foot?
Right foot.
Right foot. Let's just have you seat up there. I'm going to show you guys something. That'd be okay. You know, doctors usually talk about heel spurs and plantar fasciitis, and they just love that stuff. And yes, there's such a thing as plantar fasciitis. What does that mean? That means that the fascia, the tendon that holds the foot together from the heel all the way up there, is inflamed. That's what they mean by plantar fasciitis. And, you know, anytime they say itis, it's inflammation. Yeah. Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to check and see where that spot is on his heel. Is that the sore one? More that way? Okay. He doesn't have a heel spur. You would be able to feel that. But I tell you what he did. He doesn't even know what he did, but I do. He pulled a muscle in his leg. And it's right here.
So funny, right?
You think it's in your foot, but it goes right down that tendon, runs right down through your foot. And I have people that actually come to me for plantar fasciitis, and we start working, figure out that it's not on your foot, it's up the back of your leg. We work that, and the plantar fasciitis goes away, and they're like, who knew that you could fix plantar fasciitis? Because the doctors want to put you in a boot, make you, you know, immobilize the foot. They want to do all those things. That's not even the problem. Just a little twinge right in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Just not really shocking.
It's not too bad.
You've been enjoying it way too much, huh? I can feel that.
Yeah, there it is.
What's that?
That's right where you pulled that, right at the bottom of that main muscle. Be right in there.
Yeah.
And Ronnie enjoys it way too much, doesn't he?
He likes when other people have pain.
Yeah. Christy, she was just laughing. She thought it was so funny, and then I hit the spot on Christy. I thought she was going to stretch out across the table for a second.
What are you doing?
I'm just massaging that. I'm actually getting that knot out of the muscle is exactly what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now my toes are starting.
Now your toes will tingle. Yes, because I stimulated all those nerves that went down through your foot there. But see if that doesn't feel better when you step down.
Well, it wasn't really bad, but it was just like it was going away.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it. I still feel it.
Yeah.
But it's not rude. Just like, I don't know, not shooting pain.
Yeah.
Just a dull ache.
Dull ache, yeah.
Okay. When I was doing... Can you do that thing on the clavicles you're saying about massages?
Uh-huh. For the parathyroids?
Yeah.
Right under the edge.
Can you do that to yourself?
Sure you can. Right.
When I did this one here, I felt something like...
Yeah.
Come loose down in here.
Good for you. You released that where you had a spot that was tied up.
I did it on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Like water...
Yeah.
Running or something?
Mm-hmm. Because you actually hit the nerve that goes right down through there.
There.
I'm trying to say...
That's it right there.
Okay. And give me the name of that goes down through there. I'm trying to remember that one right off the top of my head.
Right there. There it is.
That one that goes down... That's the spleen channel. That's the spleen channel. Okay.
Can you spleen it to me?
Mm-hmm. I can spleen it to you.
Now my hands are going tingly.
Yeah.
Yep. So would that get sore if you have a spleen problem?
The spleen problem would probably show up, yes. It could. But probably the spot on his foot for his spleen would show up as being sore.
Because those are always sore on me.
Okay.
I always just assumed it was limp.
No. It's not lymph. Those spots there are not lymph. Okay? And the K27 spots that you're talking about, exactly, those are not a lymph spot. The lymph is going to be out farther, okay? Those in close there, they have to do with the parathyroids and the immune system. So your immune system is probably a little bit suppressed all the time. How about your thymus gland, the one right in the middle? Yeah.
It's always
in pain. Yep. If you will rub those three in a little while, your immune system will come back up and it'll quit. The pain. And in the meantime, I mean, you just become immune to colds and flus and all that kind of stuff.
If you're starting to get a cold, you open that up.
Uh-huh. Cold will go away.
Go away.
Yep. I'd say 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And that solar plexus spot that Ronnie's talking about there.
How I found out, I was leaning against a piece of equipment, and I was starting to get a cold, and I thought, well, why did that hurt this? So I just put my finger there and started rubbing it. Next day I didn't have a cold.
Yeah.
That was just...
By accident.
By accident.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was so sharp.
Thanks.
Like somebody stuck a needle.
Yes. I usually use two fingers most of the time because I want that double positive-negative action, and I work it in a circular motion.
In the clockwise.
Mm-hmm. Because I want to stimulate it. You know, people ask me a lot of times, do you always have to work in a clockwise? Do you always have to do this? There is a rule that goes with that. If you start in a counterclockwise, do it all in a counterclockwise.
Everything.
Because there's a little rule connected with that. That whatever energy you start with, you want to finish with that. You don't want to change it up. You know. In other words, what I'm saying is, you stimulate it. I want to stimulate all of it. I don't want to stimulate half of it and suppress half of it. You know, so it will, whatever you start with, if it's counterclockwise or whatever, just continue doing that, and it's usually okay. Or if you change it up, that's usually not too good. Okay, it's noon. Is that when we're supposed to stop?
Yes.